Good evening. This is Russ Werner, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, and tonight's host of Sports Today, the one-hour-long show that airs every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This edition is for Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. We are going to start off this evening with some football news. We have both the NFL playoffs and the college playoffs going on this weekend, and we will start with the NFL playoffs. These first two are from Saturday's games. Texans defense takes charge. Houston dominates with four picks, and Ravens also roll. This from the Associated Press. Eric Murray returned one of Justin Herbert's career-high four interceptions for a touchdown. C.J. Stroud threw a TD pass, and the Houston Texans rolled past the Los Angeles Chargers 32-12 in a wild-card playoff game on Saturday. It's the second straight year Stroud and the Texans won in the first round. Herbert threw just three interceptions in the regular season and had never thrown more than two in a game before facing a Texans secondary led by AP All-Pro cornerback Derek Stingley, who had two of the interceptions. Stroud threw for 282 yards with the touchdown pass to Nico Collins and one interception. Collins finished with seven catches for 122 yards. Joe Mixon ran for 106 yards and a score. D'Angelo Ross returned a blocked extra point for 2 points for Houston in the fourth quarter. Herbert was 14 for 32 for 242 yards. Things looked bad early for the Texans, who fumbled on their first offensive play and were down 6-0 with about a minute left in the first half. But Stroud threw a 13-yard touchdown pass to Collins to put the Texans on top. Kami Fairbairn added a 41-yard field goal to give Houston a 10-6 lead into the halftime. They were up 13-6 when Murray scored his first career touchdown on a 38-yard interception return late in the third quarter. Herbert was picked off again on the next drive when Stingley grabbed a pass that was tipped off tight end Will Disley. Stingley intercepted Herbert again late in the fourth quarter. Herbert found Ladd McConkley for an 86-yard touchdown reception to cut the Chargers' deficit to 23-12 in the fourth quarter, but Cameron Dicker's extra point attempt was blocked and returned by Ross to make it 25-12. Saturday's other game was Ravens 28, Steelers 14. Lamar Jackson threw for two touchdowns and a flawless first half. Derrick Henry scored twice while leading Baltimore's devastating running game, and the Ravens beat visiting Pittsburgh. The Ravens jumped out to a 21-0 halftime lead and held on against their AFC North rivals. Baltimore had a 19-2 advantage in first downs in the first half when the Ravens produced touchdown drives of 95, 85, and 90 yards. Henry ran for 186 yards, and Baltimore outrushed the Steelers 299-29. It was the most yards rushing allowed by Pittsburgh in a playoff game, breaking the mark of 232 set by the Oakland Raiders 51 years ago. Jackson, the two-time MVP, still seeking a postseason breakthrough, kept the chains moving, and the Ravens were happy to advance the ball methodically against the Steelers. Jackson went 16 of 21 for 175 yards and rushed for 81. Henry made it 14-0 with an 8-yard run with 4:09 left in the half, and Jackson found an open Justice Hill for a 5-yard TD with 2 seconds left to make it 21-0. Steelers quarterback Russell Wilson threw a pair of second-half touchdown passes and finished 20 of 29 for 270 yards. Then in Sunday's games, balanced offense powers Bills past the Broncos. Josh Allen threw two touchdown passes. James Cook scored on a 5-yard run and finished with 120 yards rushing. And the Buffalo Bills leaned on a balanced offensive attack in a 31-7 win over the Denver Broncos in a wild-card playoff game on Sunday. The Bills methodically wore down the Broncos by scoring on 6 of their first 7 drives and building a 31-7 lead in a game where they finished with a 23-minute edge in time of possession. and Buffalo didn't flinch after rookie Bo Nix capped Denver's five-play game-opening drive with a 43-yard touchdown pass to Troy Franklin. With Buffalo leading 13-7, Allen broke the game open with a 24-yard touchdown pass to sliding running back Ty Johnson in the back of the end zone on a 4th-and-1 with 3:06 left in the third quarter. On Buffalo's next possession, Allen completed a 55-yard pass to Curtis Samuel on the first snap of the fourth quarter. The five-time defending AFC East champion Bills advance to the divisional round for a fifth straight postseason and will face the third-seeded Baltimore Ravens next weekend. Cook became Buffalo's first player to top 100 yards rushing in a playoff game since Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas had 158 yards rushing in a 1995 wildcard playoff win over Miami. Allen finished 20 of 26 for 272 yards and increased his playoff total to 23 passing touchdowns, breaking the franchise record of 21 held by Hall of Famer Jim Kelly. The seventh-seeded Broncos were outclassed in their first playoff appearance since their Super Bowl winning season in 2015. Nix finished 13 of 22 for 144 yards in an outing where Denver punted four times and turned the ball over on downs twice. And the Broncos' attacking defense was kept at bay by an Allen-led attack that was more than content in gaining small chunks of yards on lengthy, time-consuming drives. The Broncos, who had an NFL-leading 63 sacks this season, sacked Allen just twice in a game where the Bills punted once. Trailing 7-3, Cook scored the go-ahead touchdown, 2:03 into the second quarter, to cap a 13-play, 81-yard drive. All three of Buffalo's first-half possessions featured 11 or more offensive snaps. The Broncos had little response in a first half that ended with Denver trailing 10-7 after Will Lutz banked a 50-yard field goal attempt off the right upright as time expired. The miss was Lutz's first since Week 10, when his 35-yard attempt was blocked by the Chiefs to preserve Kansas City's 16-14 win. Lutz had since converted 41 consecutive attempts, 13 field goal, and 28 extra points. Including the playoffs, Buffalo improved to 13-1 at home since a 24-22 loss to Denver on November 13th of 2023. The only loss came to Kansas City in the last year's division playoff round. Buffalo is 16-5 all time at home in the postseason. The next game on Sunday, Eagles defense stiff arms Packers from the playoffs. Philadelphia 22, Green Bay 10. Jalen Hurts tossed two touchdown passes in his first game since a late season concussion. Dallas Goedert threw three stiff arms on a rugged touchdown catch, and the Philadelphia Eagles rode their NFL best defense to a 22-10 wildcard playoff win over the Green Bay Packers on Sunday night. Hurts threw for a modest 131 yards, but played with no hesitation in his return from a three-week layoff after a concussion in December. He started strong, six straight completions to open the game, and held off the Packers with a 24-yard touchdown pass to Goddard in the third quarter that will be forever stamped in the franchise's postseason highlight reel. Philadelphia's defense handled the rest. The Eagles turned a recovered fumble on the opening kickoff into Hurts' first TD pass three plays later, and the defense picked off Jordan Love twice in the first half, holding a 19-10 lead in the fourth. The Eagles forced a turnover on downs when Green Bay had a 4th-and-3 on his own 41 with 5 minutes left in the game. Quinyon Mitchell had one final interception of Love with 1:51 left in the game that sealed the win for the NFC East champions, who will host a division game next week at the Link. The Eagles had the book on the Packers and had time for some light reading as wide receiver A.J. Brown flipped through the pages of Inner Excellence by Jim Murphy while on the bench. Brown had one catch for 10 yards. Love threw for 212 yards and was intercepted three times as he nursed a sore right elbow that was hurt in the regular season finale against Chicago. Josh Jacobs ran for 81 yards and a score and popped Green Bay's offense with a 31-yard run in the third, where he shook off one tackle, and his jersey stretched to his heel by one defender, plowed one more, and dragged two more hapless Eagles to the one-yard line. Jacobs punched it in for the score on the next play and cut it to 16-10. Aided by an unnecessary roughness flag on Green Bay, Hurts got the Eagles close enough for Jake Elliott to kick a 30-yard field goal for a 19-10 lead. Elliott needed the short kick for a confidence boost after he missed an extra point on Goddard's touchdown. Elliott, who struggled with kicks from 50-plus yards this season, added a 32-yarder in the fourth and a 31-yarder in the first quarter. Saquon Barkley, who led the NFL in rushing with 2,005 yards, had 119 yards in his Eagles' postseason debut. And the other playoff game from Sunday, Washington 23, Buccaneers 20. Commanders end nearly 7,000-day playoff drought. Jaden Daniels ran for a critical first down to set up Zane Gonzalez's 37-yard field goal that clanged off the right upright and went through as time expired. And the Washington Commanders beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-20 in an NFC wildcard game Sunday night for the franchise's first playoff win in 6,945 days. Daniels, playing with a bandage beneath his right eye after his face was bloodied, became the third rookie quarterback in 3 years to win a playoff game. The Commanders, at 13-5, will face the number one seed Detroit Lions in the divisional round. Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers missed several opportunities, and the veteran quarterback committed a costly turnover in the fourth quarter. The Bucs couldn't get 1 yard on two tries from the Commanders' 12 and settled for a field goal to tie the game before Washington's winning drive. Daniels threw for 268 yards and two touchdowns, joining C.J. Stroud and Brock Purdy as rookie quarterbacks to win playoff games in the past 3 seasons. Washington hadn't won in the postseason since beating the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay 17-10 in a wildcard game on January 7, 2006. The Buccaneers opened the season with a 37-20 victory at home against the Commanders in Daniels' first game. Daniels went on to have an outstanding season, was selected to the Pro Bowl, and helped Washington improve from 4-13 to 12-5. Now he has them headed to Detroit to face Jared Goff and the Lions' high-octane offense. And finally, in Monday night's game, dominant defense. Rams get 9 sacks to shut down the Vikings. Matthew Stafford threw 2 first-half touchdown passes, and the Los Angeles Rams' defense had 9 sacks to tie the NFL playoff record in a 27-9 wildcard round victory over the Minnesota Vikings on Monday in a game that was relocated to Glendale, Arizona. The Rams' home game originally was scheduled for Inglewood, California, before the venue was changed for public safety purposes because of the deadly wildfires in the L.A. area over the past week. Linebacker Jared Verse returned a fumble 57 yards for a touchdown, and Kobe Turner had 2 sacks as the Rams came out on top in a playoff game for the first time since winning Super Bowl 56 at the end of the 2021 season. Stafford completed 19 of 27 passes for 209 yards, and Kyron Williams and Davis Allen each caught a touchdown pass as Los Angeles defeated Minnesota for the second time this season. Williams ran for 76 yards on 16 carries. The fourth-seeded Rams will be on the road to face the second-seeded Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC divisional round game on Sunday. Sam Darnold finished 25 of 40 passing for 245 yards with 1 touchdown and 1 interception for the fifth-seeded Vikings, who were the first wildcard team to win 14 games in the regular season. T.J. Hockenson caught 5 passes for 64 yards and a score for Minnesota, while Justin Jefferson had 5 receptions for 58 yards. So that sets up the divisional round playoffs. Coming this Saturday will be the AFC Houston at Kansas City at 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time, NFC Washington at Detroit at 6 p.m. Mountain. Then on Sunday, the NFC will be the L.A. Rams at Philadelphia at noon, and the AFC Baltimore at Buffalo at 4:30 p.m. Mountain Time. And in the college football playoffs, this from Thursday's game last week, Irish win thriller to reach CFP title game. A diving interception off an ill-advised pass set up Notre Dame's trip to play for the program's 12th national title after a thrill-a-minute 27-24 victory over Penn State on Thursday night in the Orange Bowl. Defensive back Christian Gray snared Drew Aller's pass across the middle at the Nittany Lions' 42 with 33 seconds left. Then the Irish moved 19 yards to set up Mitch Jeter's 41-yard winner with 7 seconds left. The game featured 3 ties, 3 lead changes, and 31 points in the fourth quarter alone. And in the other CFP playoff game from Friday night, Ohio State punches ticket for CFP title game. Quinshon Judkins ran for 2 touchdowns before Jack Sawyer forced a fumble by his former roommate that he returned 83 yards for a clinching TD as Ohio State beat Texas 28-14 in the Cotton Bowl on Friday night to advance to a shot for their 6th national title. Led by Judkins and Sawyer, the Buckeyes at 13-2 posted the semifinal victory in the same stadium where 10 years ago they were champions in the debut of the college football playoff as a 4-team format. Now they have the opportunity to be the winner again in the debut of the expanded 12-team field. Sawyer got to Texas quarterback Quinn Ewers on a 4th-and-goal from the 8, knocking the ball loose before scooping it up and lumbering all the way to the other end zone with 2:13 left. It was the longest fumble return in CFP history. I saw the ball pop right out to me after I tackled him. I was just thinking, I've got to stay on my feet because I almost blacked out when I scooped it and saw a bunch of green grass ahead of me, Sawyer said. Ewers and Sawyer were roommates in Columbus for 1 semester before the quarterback transferred home to Texas. Ewers helped lead the Longhorns at 13-3 to consecutive CFP semifinals, but next season will be their 20th since winning their last national title with Vince Young in 2005. Texas had moved to the 1, helped by 2 pass interference penalties in the end zone, before Quintrevion Wisner was stopped for a 7-yard loss. Ewers threw a 3rd-down incompletion while being pressured by Sawyer on the play before the defensive touchdown. Judkins had a 1-yard touchdown for a 21-14 lead with 7:02 left. That score came 4 plays after quarterback Will Howard converted on a 4th-and-2 from the Texas 34 with a stumbling 18-yard run that was almost a score. Howard was 24 of 33 passing for 289 yards with a touchdown and an interception. He played his first game at AT&T Stadium since leading Kansas State to a win over undefeated TCU in the Big 12 Championship 2 years ago. He was 0-3 as a starter against the Longhorns while at K-State, including an overtime thriller in Austin last season. Ewers finished 23 for 39 for 283 yards with 2 TD passes to Jadon Blue and an interception after getting the ball back the one final time. It might have been his last play for the Longhorns, since he could go into the NFL draft. The Buckeyes went ahead on their opening drive of the game when Judkins scored on a 9-yard run. It looked as if they could get off to another fast start after jumping ahead 21-0 and 34-0 in their first 2 playoff games. But Ohio State then punted on 4 consecutive possessions before Texas tied it at 7 on Ewers' 18-yard touchdown pass to Blue with 29 seconds left in the first half. Arch Manning, the backup and future starting quarterback, kept the drive alive when he converted a 4th-and-1 from midfield with an 8-yard keeper, his only play of the game. Right after Texas's first TD, Buckeyes running back Travion Henderson turned a short pass into a 75-yard touchdown, following a wall of blockers before shooting through an open gap and sprinting to the end zone. Ohio State will play Notre Dame in Atlanta on January 20th in the CFP title game. Now over to some basketball, starting with the NBA Phoenix Suns. Phoenix Suns avoid another upset loss to Charlotte Hornets. This by Dwayne Rankin of the Arizona Republic. The Phoenix Suns couldn't let it happen again. They had already lost to the 8-win Charlotte Hornets on the road last week and were on the verge of falling to them again Sunday at home. Nah, not this time. The Suns closed on a 9-0 run in the final 2 minutes and 5 seconds to upend the Hornets 120-113 before a sellout crowd of 17,071 at Footprint Center in the second of a back-to-back. Devin Booker scored 30 points to lead Phoenix, who is now 19-19, winners of 3 straight games for the first time since taking 7 in a row during an 8-1 start. Kevin Durant posted 27 points. Bradley Beal went for 15, while Grayson Allen added 13 in the first half before missing the second with left knee soreness. LaMelo Ball paced the Hornets, who were 8-28, with 25 points and 11 assists. Here are some takeaways. The final 122, Booker capped the 9-0 run with 2 free throws with 28.2 seconds left, and Beal dribbled out the final seconds after denying Ball on a late 3. Guess who scored the first 7 points of the run? A rookie and someone who was in his first game back from injury. Oso Iguodaro tied the game at 113 each, with a dunk off Booker's 8th and final assist. Then, after Booker forced a steal, Durant found Iguodaro on the baseline for a dunk that put Phoenix up 2 with 122 left. The Suns got a defensive stop with Booker grabbing a rebound that led to Royce O'Neal, back after missing time with an ankle sprain, hitting a corner 3 off a Beal assist that led to Charlotte calling a timeout with 41.5 seconds left. Coming out of the timeout, rookie Ryan Dunn came in and corralled the defensive rebound of Nick Smith Jr.'s miss. Booker was later fouled, hit the free throws, and Beal blocked Ball. Ball game. Now digging deeper defensively. Okay, what happened outside of the actual plays? The Suns got those hits and the Hornets they lacked when Charlotte ravaged them for 20 offensive rebounds last week that led to 19 points. The Hornets scored 26 points off 15 offensive rebounds Sunday, as the Suns were down Yusuf Nurkic due to illness, but Phoenix tightened up on the boards in the fourth. Charlotte had just 2 offensive rebounds in the final 12 minutes, scoring just 3 second-chance points. Booker and Beal each had 3 defensive boards, while Durant had 2. The Suns, even when Nurkic is playing, were getting crushed on the offensive boards. His last game was last week at Charlotte, as Suns coach Mike Budenholzer didn't play him the next 2 games. Phoenix is going to play small ball even when they have their full complement of bigs, so that's going to require everyone, including the guards, to rebound, which was the case in the fourth quarter. Again, scoring shouldn't be Phoenix's problem. Defense is the main issue. The Suns haven't defended the drive well, been gutted on the offensive glass, but did a better job at both Sunday, granted against a team that's young, inexperienced, and careless. Phoenix limited Charlotte to 28.6% shooting in the fourth. The Hornets took some wild shots in going 1 of 6 on threes, starting with Ball, who went 0 for 4 from distance. Still, if the Suns can improve on defense, this season will not be a lost one. Now finally, Beal stays in, helps the Suns win. Now here's the irony of this. Suns coach Mike Budenholzer took Beal and Nurkic out of the starting lineup, beginning with last Monday's game at Philadelphia. He's feeling some way about it. Add the trade talks involving the Suns, shopping him, and Beal is leaning into his faith even more. He's still playing 30-plus minutes, still getting up the same amount of shots, and Budenholzer is still having him close games. So Beal had no problems giving Budenholzer a look when he felt his coach was going to take him out at the 4-minute mark in the fourth quarter. The 3-time All-Star had checked into the game with 6:48 left in the third, and it didn't come out the remainder of the game. Beal played the entire fourth quarter, as did Durant. The Suns needed Beal. Just mull that over. In other action from around the NBA on Sunday in Sunday's Roundup, Pacers end the Cavs' 12-game win streak. Despite losing Tyrese Halliburton due to hamstring tightness, the Indiana Pacers used balanced offense and stifling defense to end the host Cleveland Cavaliers' 12-game winning streak with a 108-93 decision on Sunday. Andrew Nebhard led the way with 19 points. Pascal Siakam added 18 points and 9 rebounds. And Miles Turner recorded a 15-point-10-rebound double-double for Indiana. The Pacers held the Cavaliers to just 33 of 83 shooting from the floor, which is 39.8%, including 11 of 41 from three-point range at 26.8%. Indiana limited Cleveland's season-long leading scorers, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, to 19 and 20 points, respectively. Evan Mobley with 16 points and Jared Allen with 11 were the only other Cavaliers to score more than 7. Next, we have Knicks 140, Bucks 106. Jalen Brunson scored 44 points in a little under 29 minutes and survived an injury scare for the host New York Knicks, who rolled to a win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Brunson scored 23 points in the first quarter and had 32 points when he appeared to hurt his right shoulder while having a shot blocked by Brook Lopez with 9:42 left in the third quarter, and the Knicks leading 85-65. Brunson motioned for a substitute and headed by himself over to the Knicks locker room, but returned to chants of MVP from the Madison Square Garden crowd with 3:34 remaining in the period, and New York ahead 99-80. Karl Anthony Towns, who had 30 points and 18 rebounds, and Josh Hart, 11 points and 11 rebounds, each posted double-doubles for the Knicks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 24 points and 13 rebounds, had another double-double for the Bucks, who had their three-game winning streak snapped. Antetokounmpo has a double-double in 27 of 31 games this season. Damian Lillard scored 22 points, while Chris Middleton added 16 points off the bench, as the Bucks surrendered their most lopsided defeat since a 129-94 loss to the Sacramento Kings last March 12th. Next, we have Nuggets 112, Mavericks 101. Nikola Jokic had 19 points, 18 rebounds, and 9 assists. Russell Westbrook finished with 21 points and 10 rebounds, and the visiting Denver Nuggets used a big fourth quarter to rally past the shorthanded Dallas Mavericks. The Mavericks played again without leading scorers Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, and are 2-3 without the duo. Klay Thompson scored 25 points, Spencer Dinwiddie and Najee Marshall had 16 each, and Derek Lively II contributed 14 points and 8 assists for Dallas. Jamal Murray scored 17. Aaron Gordon returned after a 9-game absence with 13 points. Michael Porter Jr. also had 13 points, and Payson Watson finished with 10 for Denver. The Nuggets have won 3 straight. Next, Kings 124, Bulls 119. De'Aaron Fox had 26 points and 9 rebounds, and Domantas Sabonis added 22 points, 15 rebounds, and 8 assists to help the visiting Sacramento Kings extend their season-long winning streak to 7 games with a victory against the Chicago Bulls. DeMar DeRozan added 21 points against his former team, while Malik Monk 18 points and Keegan Murray 14 followed in double figures for the Kings. Chicago's Zach LaVine led all scorers with 36 points to go with 10 boards. He has scored at least 30 points in a career-best 6 straight games. Next, we have Thunder 136, Wizards 95. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 27 points to lead 7 players in double figures, and the visiting Oklahoma City Thunder beat Washington, sending the NBA worst Wizards to their 6th straight loss. Aaron Wiggins scored 23 points off the bench, Jalen Williams added 17, Cason Wallace had 14, and Lugans Dort chipped in 11 for Oklahoma City, which led by as many as 44 and won its 2nd straight since having its 15-game winning streak snapped. Corey Kispert led Washington with 17 points off the bench, while Jordan Poole scored 13 points but committed 6 of the Wizards' 18 turnovers. Then we have the Celtics 120, Pelicans 119. Jason Tatum scored a career-high 38 points and grabbed 11 rebounds as the Boston Celtics fended off the visiting New Orleans Pelicans. Kristaps Porzingis added 19 points and 11 rebounds for the Celtics, who had lost 2 of their previous 3 games. Boston also received 16 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists from Jaylen Brown. Trey Murphy returned after missing 3 games with an ankle injury to score 30 points for the Pelicans. DeJounte Murray had 26 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists for New Orleans, which was 17 of 37 on 3-point attempts. Then we have the Magic 104, 76ers 99. Jonathan Isaac came off the bench to record his first double-double in over 5 years, helping the Orlando Magic beat the visiting Philadelphia 76ers. Isaac tallied season highs of 20 points, including 13 in the fourth quarter, and 11 rebounds for his first double-double since December 15th of 2019. Cole Anthony scored 27 points on 11 of 17 shooting, while Paolo Banchero had bundled 20 points with 8 rebounds and 6 assists for Orlando. Tyrese Maxey led Philadelphia with 29 points, but shot just 7 of 19 from the floor. Paul George added 25 points, along with 10 rebounds and 6 assists. Joel Embiid missed his 4th straight game for the 76ers with a foot injury. Then finally we have Jazz 112, Nets 111 in overtime. Rookie Isaiah Collier hit a game-winning shot to cap a career night while leading the shorthanded Utah Jazz to an overtime victory over the Brooklyn Nets in Salt Lake City. Collier, the 29th pick of the 2024 draft, scored a career-high 23 points on 9 of 16 shooting to go with 7 rebounds and 7 assists. Colin Sexton added 21 points, and Bryce Sensabaugh and Avi Mykhailiuk each scored 16 as Utah snapped a 9-game home losing streak in dramatic fashion. Tozan Evubuam finished with a career-high 22 points to lead the Nets, who overcame a 13-point fourth-quarter deficit to force overtime. Nick Claxton added 14 points and 12 rebounds, while Ben Simmons totaled 14 points, 9 assists, and 6 boards in the Nets' 5th straight loss. And that will put us a little bit past our halfway point in this evening's sports today. And now on to some college basketball. We'll start with the University of Arizona Wildcats men's basketball. Lloyd gets fiery with Wildcats. Despite win against UCF, Lloyd says they played dumb and casual. This is by Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star. Still affable and steadily supportive to his players in a tough love sort of way throughout a bleak non-conference season, Arizona coach Tommy Lloyd finally cracked Saturday. Never mind that his team had won 6 straight and was 4-0 in the Big 12 Conference after beating UCF 88-80 at McHale Center on Saturday. That was part of the problem. They are 4-0 in the Big 12, but only after hanging on to beat Cincinnati and UCF, despite blowing double-digit leads, lapsing into dangerous habits that could cost them ahead during a backloaded schedule. And after failing to beat a single high-major team in non-conference play, it's a conference schedule in which they have little margin for error in obtaining a decent NCAA tournament seed. Every one of these games matters, Lloyd said. Saturday night is great to be 4-0, but you know what? 4-0 could also end up 4-16 if you don't handle it the right way. We've got to handle it the right way. Saying the Wildcats were playing dumb, casual, and maybe a little bit selfish against the Knights, Lloyd ranted often throughout a 6-minute post-game address Saturday that was reminiscent of how he complained no fewer than 10 times that Stanford booted them swiftly in at the backside during a New Year's Eve game last season at Maples Pavilion. "Do I need to say ass kicked again?" Lloyd said at one point at Maples. But even though Lloyd's post-Stanford rant came after a loss and Saturday's comments came after a win, both reactions appeared at least somewhat rooted in the same coaching strategy. The Wildcats' loss to a previously sub-500 Stanford team was their third in five games and came as Lloyd was trying to prepare them for a Pac-12 play ahead. It may have helped. The Wildcats lost two more of their next six games, but then cruised through most of February to capture the conference's regular season title. This time, Lloyd appeared to be preparing them for the potentially much tougher Big 12 games ahead, starting Tuesday, when the Wildcats will host Baylor at McHale Center. Against UCF, the Wildcats built three 14-point leads midway through the first half that melted away in less than 9 minutes, then generally stagnated through the second half. That sort of behavior can easily translate into a loss against Baylor, Iowa State, Houston, Kansas, BYU, ASU, or, really, just about any game ahead. They had already seen it happen against UCLA, losing a 13-point second-half lead in a 57-54 loss at Phoenix on December 14th. "I just didn't think we did a great job of seizing the opportunity and seizing the moment," Lloyd said. "It's a teaching moment for us. And you know what? I do love teaching after a win, I will admit to that." The way Lloyd put it, some of that teaching was now public. And over at ASU men's basketball from Saturday, Baylor 72, ASU 66 in overtime. Sun Devils force OT, but fall to Baylor at home. This by Michelle Garner of the Arizona Republic. The Arizona State men's basketball team got a crack at one of the Big 12 Blue Bloods earlier this week when it traveled to Kansas. That did not go well. Another one of the conference's premier brands stopped into Desert Financial Arena on Saturday, and that did not go well either, as the Sun Devils lost at home for the first time this season, falling to Baylor 72-66 in overtime. ASU at 10-5, 1-3 in the Big 12, trailed by as many as 15 points, that deficit coming at 44-29, but ASU rallied back and evened the game at 61-all on a driving layup by Adam Miller with 1.9 seconds left in regulation. Baylor at 11-4, 3-1 in the Big 12, had control in the extra 5 minutes, however. ASU was just 2-for-10 from the field in overtime. It missed its first six shots, with Alston Mason finally getting a bucket that cut the deficit to 69-63. Baylor secured it from there. Baylor shot 43%, 25-58, and was led by Miami transfer Norchid Omeyer with 19 points and 8 rebounds. Vijay Edgecombe, considered by many an NBA lottery pick, added 15. ASU was led by BJ Freeman with 22 points. Mason added 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. Jaden Quaintance had a team-high 8 rebounds with 2 blocks. Next for the Sun Devils, they will be at home for a 9 p.m. game on Tuesday against Central Florida, UCF, who is 11-3, 2-1 in the conference. And over at the women's side at the University of Arizona Wildcats, Women's Hoops continues winless streak at McHale, by Michael Lev of the Arizona Daily Star. The Arizona women's basketball team entered Saturday's game versus Iowa State in an unfamiliar place. The Wildcats were undefeated on the road and winless at home in conference play. In an effort to change their luck, the Cats wore their alternate gray uniforms for the dark mode game at McHale Center. The visiting Cyclones wore their home whites. It didn't make a difference. Iowa State defeated Arizona 79-58, handing the Wildcats their third consecutive loss at McHale and their fourth in 11 games this season. Arizona isn't used to getting swept at home. It happened only once last year versus USC and UCLA at the end of the regular season. The Wildcats went 10-5 at home last season. They lost no more than 3 home games in any of the previous 4 seasons. "I think we played some better teams at home," UA coach Adia Barnes said. Baylor's a lot stronger at this point than BYU and UCF. And then when these teams have these dominant post players, we have a hard time. Much of the focus entering Saturday was on the post matchup between sophomores Audie Crooks of Iowa State and Brea Cunningham of Arizona. Crooks was averaging a Big 12 best 23 points per game. Cunningham paced the Wildcats in scoring, rebounding, field goal percentage, and blocks. With Cunningham guarding her most of the time, Crooks scored a season-low 11 points. Crooks' 6 field goal attempts were also her fewest. Cunningham blocked Crooks twice and forced jump balls on 2 other occasions. But Crooks didn't force the issue, and all the attention paid to her left other Cyclones open. Junior guard Sydney Harris had a game and season-high 24 points on 9 of 14 shooting, including 5 of 9 from 3-point range. Iowa State shot 53.7% from the field, the highest mark by a UA opponent this season. Cunningham finished with 7 points and 8 rebounds before fouling out with 2:47 left to play. Sophomore guard Jada Williams had a team-high 17 points. She was the lone Wildcat to score in double figures. For the second game in a row, Arizona had to dig out of a double-digit deficit. The Wildcats had it down to 4, 2:38 into the second half on a Cunningham bank shot and had a chance to trim ISU's lead to 2 after a miss at the other end. But after a sweet crossover, Lauren Swan missed a scooping layup. The Cyclones then went on a 12-0 run and led 54-38 at the end of the third quarter. Williams' three-pointer made it 59-48 with 7:04 to play, but that was the closest Arizona would get. Next up for them will be a Thursday night game at Kansas State. And over at the ASU women's basketball, WBB not able to keep up with Baylor. For the second time in as many games, the Sun Devil women's basketball team found itself in a hole too deep to dig itself out of in Saturday's 78-59 loss to Baylor. Jalen Brown, 21 points, and Ty Skinner, 13 points, both tallied double-digit scoring totals for the Sun Devils, who are 8-9, 2-3 in the Big 12, who fell behind by 20 in the second quarter, got back within 7 in the same quarter, only to fall behind by double digits again at the half. Baylor's 13-4 run to start the second half proved to be too much for ASU to overcome. One of the biggest factors in the outcome of the game was on the boards, where the Bears at 14-4, 4-1 in the Big 12, finished plus 18. Baylor had nearly twice as many offensive rebounds, 17-9, as ASU, which translated into a 21-7 advantage in second chance points. Next up for the Lady Sun Devils is a road trip to the state of Kansas for a game Thursday evening at Kansas. And over at Grand Canyon men's basketball, they lost last Thursday at Utah Valley, 72-64, and their next game will be this Thursday at home, January 16th, against Abilene Christian. The GCU women's basketball played the same teams as the men's, except they were playing Utah Valley at home. They won that game on last Thursday, 71-59, and will play this coming Thursday at Abilene Christian. The Northern Arizona University men's basketball team was up in Montana this past weekend. Thursday, they lost at Montana, 81-76, and Saturday, they lost at Montana State, 58-53. This week, they'll be at home Thursday against Sacramento State and Saturday against Portland State. The NAU women's basketball team last Thursday at home defeated Montana 65-46. Then Saturday, they lost at home against Montana State 87-81. This coming week, Thursday, they'll be at Sacramento State and Saturday at Portland State. In some PGA golf news, wire to wire, Nick Taylor prevails in playoff at Sony Open. Nick Taylor has a penchant for playoffs. The latest example coming at the Sony Open in Hawaii. Taylor made a birdie on the second playoff hole at the Wailea Country Club to defeat Nico Echeverria after both carded 16 under 264 in Honolulu. It was a topsy-turvy Sunday in Hawaii, where J.J. Spahn and Steven Yeager looked to have the upper hand for most of the back nine, until each played the final three in one over. That cleared the way for Taylor, who chipped in for eagle from behind the 18th green in regulation to card a final round 65, and Echeverria, who got up and down for birdie from a greenside bunker to match his playing partner, Taylor, at 16 under. It's Taylor's fifth PGA Tour title, the last three of which have come in playoffs. Taylor hasn't recorded a top 10 in an individual event since his win in Phoenix last February, which led to a disappointing autumn as he wasn't selected to represent the international team at the President's Cup in his native Canada. His Sony Open victory, where the Canadian finished the week fourth for strokes gained, and one in front of his wife and two young children, wipes away some of that sting. It positions Taylor for starts in all 2025 signature events, the Masters and the PGA Championship. "I'm a bit stunned this worked out this way," Taylor said afterwards. "It was a tough 6-7 months, and for my wife and family to be with me and support me and lift me up, it makes it all the bit sweeter." Now on to some other miscellaneous news, this late breaking from the NFL. Mike McCarthy won't return as the Cowboys coach in 2025. Mike McCarthy will not return as the Dallas Cowboys head coach in 2025, Jerry Jones announced Monday. McCarthy's contract with the Cowboys expired last Wednesday, but the team held an exclusive negotiating window with the coach until Tuesday at midnight. "Over the past week, Mike and I had the opportunity to conduct a joint review of all aspects of the past season, our players and staff, and also spent considerable time discussing the road forward for the team. These discussions were thorough and received an appropriate amount of time and depth to cover," Jones, the Cowboys owner and general manager, said in a statement. "Prior to reaching the point of contract negotiations, though, it became mutually clear that it would be better for each of us to head in a different direction. I thank Mike and wish him, his wife Jessica, and their family the best. They have been a wonderful part of our community here." Jones added that the Cowboys will begin the search for the Cowboys' next head coach immediately. The Chicago Bears and New Orleans Saints are expected to be interested in speaking with McCarthy regarding their vacancies. Last week, the Bears had an official request for permission to speak with McCarthy, denied by the Cowboys. Coming off a disappointing 7-10 finish in 2024, Jones will look to make the ninth head coaching hire of his tenure as owner and general manager. And some news from over at the University of Arizona Wildcat football coaching staff. "Atkins out at UA after one season," by Justin Spears of the Arizona Daily Star. Arizona tight ends coach and passing game coordinator Matt Atkins is no longer with the UA coaching staff. Atkins' dismissal was first reported by ESPN's Pete Thimmel late Saturday night. Atkins is out after one season with the Wildcats. Atkins had 1 year left on his two-year contract, and unless he lands a new job, he's owed $375,000 for 2025. Before his lone season in Tucson, Atkins worked under Arizona head coach Brent Brennan for 6 years at San Jose State. After he played quarterback at Southern Oregon, he graduated from the NAIA school in 2012. After his final collegiate season, Atkins became an offensive coordinator under his father, Doug, with the Karlstad Crusaders of the Swedish Football League. In 2013, he was named head coach of Karlstad. When he wasn't coaching overseas, Atkins managed assistant offensive duties at Southern Oregon, which he called a perfect time in my life because he was play caller for 30 games in one calendar year. Under the direction of first-year offensive coordinator Dino Babers and Atkins, Arizona's offense dropped from 18th nationally in total offense in 2023 to 115th in 2024. After producing 53 touchdowns last season, the Wildcats only scored 29 this season and had the second-worst red zone offense in FBS. Arizona quarterback Noah Fifita had a 23-5 touchdown-to-interception ratio last season. This year, he finished with 18-12. a season after Fafita became the only Wildcat in school history to have a completion rate of 73.6, higher than 70%, he dropped to 60.5% in the new system. Fafita had the most throwaways, 37, in college football this season, according to Pro Football Focus. Following Arizona's 24-point loss to Kansas State in Manhattan, Babers relinquished play-calling duties to Atkins. Arizona won its first game against 10th-ranked Utah with Atkins as offensive play caller, but the Wildcats won only one game for the remainder of the season. Arizona had the second lowest scoring offense in the Big 12, averaging 21.8 points per game, and rushing offense. Arizona had 5 games this season with fewer than 100 net rushing yards. As a result, Babers wasn't retained following a 1-year deal at Arizona either. Arizona hired Marshall offensive coordinator and former Texas Tech quarterback Seth Dagey as the new offensive coordinator. In addition to hiring Atkins' replacement to coach tight ends, the Wildcats also need to hire a special teams coordinator. Atkins is the second former San Jose State assistant on Arizona staff to depart from the program, along with defensive line coach Joe Simalo, who was replaced by new associate head coach Joe Savlia. And in one more miscellaneous article, Texas man arrested, charged with stalking Fevers, Caitlin Clark. This from ESPN News Services. A 55-year-old Texas man was arrested on a felony stalking charge in Indianapolis on Sunday after he allegedly repeatedly sent threats and sexually violent messages to Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark via social media, according to court documents. Police records show that Michael Lewis of Denton, Texas, was charged with a level 5 felony after he was arrested at a hotel in Indianapolis. He is scheduled to appear in court Tuesday morning. Lewis could face up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. And now I'm going to run down the standings in the NBA and the NHL. Starting with the NBA Eastern Conference Atlantic Division, Boston is on top at 28-11, followed by New York at 26-14, Philadelphia 15-22, Brooklyn 13-26, and Toronto 8-31. In the Southeast Conference, Orlando is on top at 23-18, Miami is 20-17, Atlanta is 19-19, Charlotte 8-28, and Washington 6-31. In the Central Division, Cleveland is on top at 33-5, followed by Indiana at 22-18, Milwaukee is at 20-17, Detroit 20-19, and Chicago 18-21. And in the Western Conference, Southwest Division, Houston is on top at 25-12, followed by Memphis at 25-14, Dallas is 22-17, San Antonio 18-19, New Orleans 8-32. In the Northwest Division, Oklahoma City is on top at 32-6, followed by Denver at 23-15, Minnesota 20-18, Portland 13-25, and Utah 10-28. And in the Pacific Division, the LA Lakers are on top at 20-16. A half a game back is the LA Clippers at 20-17, followed by Sacramento at 20-19, and Phoenix and Golden State are tied at 19-19. And in the NHL Eastern Conference Atlantic Division, Toronto is on top at 27-15-2, followed by Florida 25-15-3, Tampa Bay 23-15-3, Boston 21-19-5, Ottawa 21-18-3, Detroit 20-18-4, Montreal tied at 20-18-4 also, and Buffalo 16-22-5. And in the Metro Division, Washington is at 28-10-5, followed by New Jersey 26-15-4, Carolina 26-15-3, Columbus 20-17-6, Pittsburgh 18-19-8, the New York Rangers 20-20-2, the New York Islanders 17-18-7, and Philadelphia 18-20-5. And in the Western Conference Central Division, Winnipeg is on top at 29-12-3, Minnesota, 27-13-4 is next, followed by Dallas, 27-14-1. Colorado, 26-17-1. St. Louis, 20-20-4. Utah, 18-17-7. Nashville, 13-22-7. And Chicago, 14-27-2. And finally, in the Pacific Division, Vegas is on top at 29-11-3, followed by Edmonton, 26-13-3, Los Angeles, 24-11-5, Vancouver, 19-13-10, Calgary, 20-14-7, Anaheim, 18-20-5, Seattle, 18-23-3, and San Jose, 13-26-6. And those are all as of this reporting. And in a final short article from the Australian Open Tennis, Sabalenka and Zverev shine in rainy Melbourne. Arianna Sabalenka opened her bid for a third straight Australian Open title with a 6-3, 6-2 victory over Sloane Stephens on Sunday after rain had washed away a good chunk of play on the opening day at Melbourne Park. The top seed did not have it all her own way against the 2017 U.S. Open champion, but wrapped up the win in a little more than an hour on Rod Laver Arena, one of three courts where play continued under closed roofs during the deluge. Men's second seed, Alexander Zverev, seeking a maiden Grand Slam title, made a dominant start to his bid as he closed out the evening session on the main show court with a 6-4, 6-4, 6-4 victory over 2019 semifinalist Lucas Pouet. And that's going to wrap up tonight's edition of Sports Today for Tuesday, January 14th, 2025. I'm Russ Werner, tonight's host of Sports Today and a volunteer leader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a good evening and stay tuned for more. Don't forget, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left click on Broadcast Info and Audio. Then under Programming Links, left click on Demand Podcast. Also, you can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or other smart home device.